help it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Here's the deal. Jared and I are not going to be in the house tomorrow. You're going to get to enjoy the guys in Oklahoma City during the show tomorrow. So that means we've got to look into our crystal balls for the NCAA tournaments. Heck, I got to look into my crystal ball for the Masters. I won't be on again until it's over.
Yeah, I haven't even looked that far.
I've got a Masters preview.
Well, I'm going to lean on you.
Coming today.
Yeah.
Did I send you the right deal?
I'll be honest, I haven't even opened it
yet. Okay, well, that's great.
Scrambling because of trying to get everything done.
Ever since that first one, that one where I didn't send you the right one,
it had me yesterday nervous. Was right, so don't.
I think all I have to do is save it before I send it. And that one time, it was still open. So, crystal ball. Who will play in the title game? Because you'll be able to talk about the title game with Scott on Monday before it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Why are those two teams going to be playing? Who's going to win the women's? It'll be over by the next time you talk on these airwaves.
That's
women's
right.
Tournament will be over.
That's right.
Which game will be the best? Men, women, and maybe even all of it. Who will be the best game?
Good question.
I do have a bunch of Masters stuff that I've kind of ran down that we can talk about in the middle of the show. Thunder lose again without J-Dub and SGA. I mean, you can just see the issues, right? When are you going to start getting worried about their health?
Yesterday.
Oh, I mean.
No.
Is it possible that Oklahoma City is okay with the 3 seed? Where they're looking at, say, Dallas or New Orleans, and they think, you know what? We'll take our chances with one of those more than what might come out of the play-in. Or are they just making sure those guys are healthy? Maybe even give them a little rest heading into the playoffs. So we talk about that. And then also, well, we didn't get to the baseball yesterday. We'll talk about it today. Final rankings for A and B were released on Monday. Pairings come out tomorrow for the playoffs. And then district races in the bigger classes are starting to heat up as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. It's got the radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Go pick up a free copy of that Penny News. It's out everywhere as we speak. Check out the deals in this week's Penny News. And, of course, we've also got Big Elk and Paragon TV. That'll be cranking back up here before you know it with maybe some high school baseball for the Big Elks. And then also Skinny on Sports Podcast, wherever you find podcasts, you can find us as well. It's right there available to you if you miss one of the shows. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You realize in 1 week there will be players on the course at Augusta National for round one of the Masters. 1 week from today. 1 week from right now.
Whoa, we're not counting the par three contest? Or?
No. I'm talking about real tournament.
Real get-at-it tournament. Yeah, it's fastly approaching.
There will be people on the course keeping scores. Jack and Tom and Gary will have hit. I wonder if they're going to let Gary Player come back. I'm sure he will be an honorary starter. But, man. You know, his son's out there trying to hawk stuff at Augusta National, his brand or his golf. I mean, there seems like there's something pops up about every 2 years with Gary Player and his family during the Masters. Last year, he said the Masters was the worst of the four majors, which is just absurd. Absurdly stupid from Gary Player. Go do another 100 crunches, you old bag. Anyhow.
Drama, man.
I can't stand him.
Drama.
If you're going to be against Augusta National, I'm against you. I don't care who you are. We got Masters coming up here in a little bit, though. All right, let's look at the baseball.
Hey, real quick.
Go ahead.
Baseball related. This has popped up. I forgot about this. Have you seen the new thing, the new challenge at baseball games, at Major League Baseball games? I guess you could do it at minor league.
Oh, the 999?
Yes,
yeah, I did. I saw it last night.
Sweeping the nation.
I saw it last night. Nine beers, nine dogs in nine innings.
Yeah, basically a beer and a dog every inning. Could you do it?
Yes.
You could do it?
I could do the nine beers easy.
Oh, easily, yeah. It's the hot dog
thing. The dogs would be
is...
the issue. Now, it depends on, I mean, are we talking like the foot-long Dodger dogs, or are we talking about just a normal old hot dog?
Well, based on this picture, on this tweet here, it looks like just a normal old hot dog. What concerns me is the picture of the beer. They look like those tall 16-ounce cans. I'd have to be 12-ouncers. Right?
Well, I mean, if you think over nine innings, you're going to drink three extra beers. If it's 16 versus 12.
Yeah.
Four more ounces an inning, Oops. Which ends up being three more. So you're really going to drink a 12-pack.
Well, that's a good point.
Now with the pitch count, it'll be harder. Used to be you'd have about 5 hours for it.
That's right. The pitch count speeding things up.
Now sometimes you may only have like 2.5 hours.
You would hope for a marathon inning of hitters walks.
Now, wait a minute. Can you cheat? Like, do you have to do a beer and a dog each inning, or can you do three beers and three dogs in the first inning and then just coast through after that?
Wouldn't you want to pace yourself, though?
I would think so. Oof.
Yeah, that's...
It could be pretty rough afterwards when that's over.
Depend on if you got a bad seat and you have to walk down all those flight of stairs and walk to your car.
You'd want to be right around the corner from the toy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw that, and it got me thinking, could this be done?
May have to try it.
Don't bring the kids.
See if we can get a sponsor for it's Big 12 tournament in Oklahoma City now. Is it still there?
I think it's in Arlington.
Down in Arlington?
Yeah.
Even better, we can go see that ballpark. Get somebody sponsors to do it.
Try it.
I mean, what's that going to cost?
We'll live stream it.
Here's the question. What's
and
that cost?
And that's another good point. My buddy said, I sent out to a group, and one of them said, I'd rather save my money and buy a jersey because of what the prices are of hot dogs and beers.
I mean, would you say it's 12 bucks an inning? $4 for a hot dog and $8 for a beer? Is that
at least.
That's probably in the neighborhood or 15?
Yeah. Maybe 15 go on dollar dog night, but... Maybe that's the key.
Yeah, maybe that's the key. If you could get a dollar dog, dollar beer,
something
you'd do it for $18.
Usually cut you off in the seventh inning.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to have to.
You have to do what you just said to kind of speed it up.
Yeah, and a lot of times they only let you have two at a time at a deal like that.
Right, yeah.
How about you just bring like your little soft-sided ice chest?
You know, you need a buddy to go carry for you. You know.
Maybe he'd have to get two. You'd get one and a. Yeah, that maybe for the last two innings. Or you can just carry your soft side ice chest in.
Which is, some parks allow that.
Have ice and just
buy
nine as fast as you could and put them in the. I mean, I realize they don't normally give you a can.
The old.
Some of them might.
The previous ballpark in Arlington, they let you bring in coolers with drinks in it. No joke. We didn't know that last time I went to that stadium years ago. With my father-in-law, it was just me and him. He had a buddy down there in Arlington. We actually had an extra ticket. Called him up, said, hey, we're going to this game. You got time? He said, yeah, what hotel you at? I'll pick you up. So he picked us up. He goes, you guys got your cooler? And we kind of laughed. We're like, what are you talking about? We don't have time to go tailgating. And he said, no, you can take a cooler inside the stadium. They check it, but you can take a cooler full
of- You can take cold beer inside the stadium?
Now, that was at the old stadium.
Wow.
I don't know. So we went and bought a styrofoam cooler, filled it up with our drinks of choice, iced them up, walked right in.
Holy cow.
We sat third base side front row towards left field, and it saved us from having to trot up those stairs every time we wanted a drink or wave down the beer guy, and it saved our pocketbook a lot of money.
Interesting. I did not know that
we
was a thing.
We took in a bunch of, what's the popular Texas beer?
Shiner box.
We filled it full of Shiner. We're in Texas, you know, while in Rome. Let's go. So I don't know. You might. So here's your tip, listeners. If you're going to a baseball game this year, Major League Baseball game, any stadium,
Might want to check that out.
Do some research on the stadium policies. You might be surprised.
It would have never, ever, 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 ever occurred to me that that would be the case.
And then we just threw away the cooler when we were done.
What do you need a styrofoam cooler for? It's already served its purpose.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right, so the high school baseball Class A and B final rankings.
By the way, we do not promote the 999 challenge at high school games.
No.
There's only seven innings.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't do it.
Don't do it. In Class A, the local flavor starts at number 8. And this is Repo Butler has moved up. I think they were 10 last week, up to 8 this week at 15-1. Canute only jumped 2 spots as well to number 10, but they did receive a first place vote after going and winning that AMPO Classic with the 2-0 shutout of AMPO in the finals. Canute number 10 at 14-2. They lost to Sentinel the other day.
Yeah, man,
since
they
the
had
tournament
a big
slugfest
lead, and then they gave it
yeah.
up.
Yeah, so 11-9 was the score there. So Canute 10, Hydro Eakley is 13, Sentinel 16, Hollis 17, Shattuck is 18. So I would imagine they had it was district regional state, right? Just nothing's changed there.
I believe that's right.
I don't think anything's changed. I would imagine we'd see some of those teams in regionals together there in Class A from out here. Class B, Calumet's been number 1 all year. Fort Cobb number 2. Navajo. Navajo's had a really good spring season. 15-1 are the Indians. And that lone loss came to Okarchee, which is Class A number 5, and that was an extra inning loss. So Navajo at 15-1 at number 7. Granite's number 8. 10-4, they received a first place vote. I wonder if that's courtesy of, I thought that was an extra inning loss to Fort Cobb earlier in the year at 7-6. Leedy 11th, Visalia 12th, Hammond 15th, Blair 16th, and then Big Pasture, I guess they're at least this side of I-35. They are number 18. Once again, I would assume that we'd see multiple teams together once it gets to the regional round, trying to get into the Class A and B state tournaments. But, you know, fall didn't go very well out here. We didn't have anybody make it into the state. I mean, I don't count Fort Cobb and Calumet as out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not really out here. Fort Cobb maybe, but Calumet obviously not. But other than that, in the fall, no teams. But as we know, you know, some of those teams, especially in the Class A fall state baseball tournament, are now in 2A when it comes to the spring because of football and that kind of thing. Yep. So it'll be a different look to the spring baseball state tournaments, but that gives you an idea of kind of where everybody's at. I wouldn't anticipate many teams playing each other in district because of the rankings that they've amassed, but regionals is where we're going to start seeing matchups locally. You know, some will travel, some won't, and you'll start to see some teams playing each other.
Yeah, there's always a great debate in my mind of what's harder to win, fall or spring. I've had people tell me either way, but I think we'll get a lot more representation this year, deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I do too.
Out here.
I do too.
There's some good teams out here. And it's amazing how you see the progression from fall to spring with the smaller schools that play both and their development in the game with where they were in the fall, where they are now. It's fun. Fun to see. And you like to see it too when it's good baseball, small school baseball out here. It just means a little more. It's fun to watch.
Districts in 4A3, the Elks set atop the district at 6-0 in the district, 14-2 overall. They completed a sweep of Kingfisher yesterday. They didn't play Monday because of the threat of storms, which was a pretty good idea considering one of the tornadoes that we saw pop out was at Kingfisher. So that was smart. But they win yesterday 3-1. Mayfield hit a 2-run home run. The Elks did not swing it very good yesterday whatsoever. But they do complete the sweep of Kingfisher. They're 6-0 in the district. Weatherford 7-1. That series is coming up in 2 weeks. Game 1 at Weatherford a week from this coming Monday. And game 2 will be here. Exact same scenario as it was last year for the district. The Elks right now, if they can win that first game, they'll win the district. And unless something happens, you know, Elk City plays Anadarko today for 2. They're going to play 2 games here for the district. Then, of course, Clinton next week, Monday here, Tuesday at Clinton. So if you're looking for a time to watch cash, that may be it next Monday with Clinton in town.
Weather pending.
Yeah, weather would be pending, obviously. It does look like maybe they'll get that in as far as the weather looks, the weather moving in at night, kind of Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know how much. They may have to play here, but just let Clinton be the home team because of the turf.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That could definitely be a possibility with, you know, if Coach Gaunt wants to travel, because it does look pretty dicey, at least the long-range forecast for the first to next week, starting Monday night into Tuesday, Wednesday. There's pretty good chances of rain there. So we'll see what happens in that one. That would be – so Elk City, six more games. Everybody else, they're kind of behind them and Anadarko, which they'll catch up today. And everybody will have two series left after today. So you have a pretty good idea of where that's headed. Unless something weird happens, the two games on the 15th and 16th of April will decide District 4A3 with Elk City and Weatherford. That'll be kind of the end of it. And we'll see who wins the district. Kind of looking around, Tuttle and Chickasha tied at 10-0 in District 4. That series is the same days as Elk City and Weatherford. 8-0 Sulphur and Marlow in District 2. That one is exactly the same too. So, man, that last week there's going to be some big time series. Blanchard and Bethany the same way, and so districts 1, 2, 3, and 4 will more than likely be decided. Excuse me, the 15th and 16th of April, with all the top two teams playing each other in the final series of the year. I don't know if that was on purpose, but it sure looks like it might have been, with all four of them being that same way. So that's going to be good stuff for the high school baseball.
Very good.
Let's see. Last night, Thunder lose again without SGA and J-Dub. They were right there until the fourth quarter. Then Boston outscored them 42-17 in the final frame to pull away and win 135-100. The result of the game is what it is. No one, and I literally probably mean no one, expected Oklahoma City to win that game last night against the team with the best record in the NBA on their home floor without Oklahoma City's two best players. Question I have is, when do you start to get worried about the health of those two guys?
I was thinking about that last night. Is holding them out because of health, or is holding them out because of rest? Is it we'd rather have a 100% healthy duo of SGA and Williams or something going on here? I think it's the first part. I think it's they're happy with where they're going to land, where they think they can land. They conceded that game to Boston knowing this is going to be a tough place to play. Might as well rest them for two games and then put a final stretch in the final week and a half left in the season. And then maybe hope just things fall the way they do with Denver and Minnesota. Still yet to play one more game. But another thing is they could just be avoiding the one seed for possible matchup reasons. But again, being optimistic about it. And then, with what motivation Boston had, winning that game last night guaranteed them the best record in the NBA. So something that they were literally shooting for in Boston, national television. This is not a good spot to bring SGA out and try to take the limelight away, and then he re-aggravates something. So I think it's that. I don't think it's something as serious as something that they're not telling us. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
I'm not getting worried until I see them walk on the floor for a playoff game and they're not out there.
There you go. Yeah.
That's when I'll get worried.
Sure.
I will immediately get worried if they don't play in the playoffs. Because at that point, you don't have a chance. I mean, the truth is, even in Philly two nights ago, there's no guarantee you win that game with both of them. And it's so much more important that those guys be 100% healthy, because as much as the season feels like a grind, the playoffs are a way bigger grind than you realize if you continue through. I mean, it's 2 months of kind of every other night, and it's every other night going full blast 48 minutes. And you play more. Those stars will play more minutes in the playoffs than they would on a random Wednesday in the regular season. Those guys, they've done a good job of holding minutes down, I think, here. And I also think it's just lessons learned from the last time. yeah, everybody's screaming at the top of their lungs, these guys are young, it's okay. Well, but it's every bit of this takes a toll for later.
Yeah.
You know, early on when the Thunder were probably quote unquote too young to win a title, maybe if you start rationing minutes a little bit in the regular season back then you don't see, once Oklahoma City got into their primes, maybe you don't see an injury here that you feel like cost a title. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and they obviously plan on those main three guys being around, SGA, J-Dub, and Chet, and the cornerstones of whatever this turns out to be for the next decade. You hope for the next decade. So I think it's maybe just a little bit of maintenance. I also don't think that it's not going to bother them to be the three seed.
Yeah, kind of like I said.
Yeah, because if you're the three seed, it guarantees you're not going to have to play the Lakers no matter what happens.
Maybe that's the thing. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happens in the play-in. You're not going to have to play them in the first round.
Right. I call it, well, it's not tanking, but it's avoiding. Phrase for it.
I'm sure it's a lot more about making sure those guys are totally healthy for the playoffs than it is trying to pick and choose your matchup. But if it's me right now and the way the standings set, I don't care about having to go to Denver in round two. All I'm worried about for this team this year is winning the first series. Anything past that is complete and utter gravy to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's that idea of, well, you got to strike while the iron's hot because nothing's guaranteed for injury or for guys leaving. I understand that too. But I also think that there's going to be at least a five-year period here with these guys because of the two younger ones basically having to stay. Because the Thunder can re-sign them for more money. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then that gives you five there. SGA is already into a contract. But I just feel like this is the first of maybe a five-year window where from after this one it opens. I don't even know if the title window is open yet.
Right.
But, so that's where – give me the best first round matchup that the Thunder could possibly get and see what happens in round two if you happen to win that, no matter where you're – you know what I'm saying? And right now, it'd be Oklahoma City and Phoenix. I think that would be awesome. There's no guarantee you can win, but that would be one that, you know, them or Sacramento. But Sacramento is a team that Oklahoma City struggled with. You know, the one of the few types of guys that gives Lou Dort trouble defensively is a quick little guy. Well, guess what? De'Aaron Fox is as quick and little as it gets, whereas Booker or Beal or even KD, that's a dream matchup for Lou Dort because they ain't going by him. And then he can use his strength to kind of bump them off their spots. I mean, they're going to go crazy a game or two, but I think over seven, Thunder would have a pretty good chance to beat Phoenix because of their lack of depth. So right now, I think it's a dream. You almost wish the season was over right now. Let Oklahoma City be the three, play Phoenix, and you know, you get the Durant angle and all that. I think that'd be awesome.
Oh, the place would erupt.
Yeah.
Every game. It'd be awesome to see that. See, it'd almost be like that full circle moment from 2016 where he left and it looked so dire and the future was bleak at best. And then I mentioned this before, is like we're at this age, I think, where we're seeing this generation of LeBron and Steph and KD just kind of, you know, this is their kind of their last hoorah. And I'm not saying they're going away like tomorrow, but and we're seeing this new generation come up. That includes this Thunder team. So it would be really cool to see a series right there, Thunder play a Kevin Durant-led Phoenix team and Thunder winning the series. And it would actually, I think, kind of bring closure to 2016. Yeah. Like, okay, we're done with that. Now we can move forward. We've eliminated the demon. We have eliminated the enemy. The guy who left us, we're done with it. Now we can move forward with this new generation of Thunder players that's going to give us hope for a title. And maybe even then, in a weird way, it could just bring closure of forgiveness. Like, let's just move past this. Let's quit booing them. Let's start thinking about hanging a jersey in the rafters or something.
Yeah, and then instead of talking to Draymond in the parking lot after a soul-crushing loss, he can talk to Sam Presti about coming back.
Yeah,
that way you can, the Thunder fan can close that chapter of hating Durant and open back up to the idea of him being a piece of a title team.
Say, hey, I want to get back here. I want to retire where I started.
There you go. Hollywood couldn't even make a script that we just wrote right there on the air. Somebody has that. We need to trademark it first.
We need the rights. The movie rights on that deal.
All right. So I know everybody gets hungry throughout the day.
And I'm hungry right now.
I kind of am too. And also, I know everybody listen loves sports. Well, I have a great combination for those two things to scratch your sports and food itch. It is the Boomtown Grill. And guess what, Jared? It's Thursday. That means 50 cent boneless wing Thursday. They've got tons of different options: mild chipotle, sriracha, garlic parmesan, my favorite, mango habanero, hot barbecue, kicking bourbon, sweet red chili is really tasty as well. All of them are good. They're 50 cents a piece. Boneless chicken wing Thursday down at the Boomtown Grill. Happy hour 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. They're open 7 days a week. 11 to 10 Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday.
So not open till 11.
Not tonight.
You don't think, do they have a waitress named Helen who turned a fryer on, throw some wings down early? Tommy like wingy.
Or just wait to leave till like 11, 10. 2103 South Main is Boomtown Grill. Hanging out here on a Thursday, last show of the week for us. We're headed to Tulsa to pick up our OAB awards this evening. Big Elk TV, once again, top of the heap across the state of Oklahoma for streaming sports. Way to go, Jared.
Way to go, Aaron.
You're a way bigger part of that than I am.
Scanning on Sports Report. Congratulations.
Thank you.
About the seventh year in a row.
Best of show for the whole station. We've never done that. You think Blake stayed up all night last night fine-tuning his speech? Doesn't he get to give a speech?
I don't remember.
I know the personalities do, but don't the... I think the
personalities do?
Don't they?
Do you got to give a speech?
No. I'm not personality of the year.
Oh.
I know those do, but I think the best of show gives a little speech too. Somebody warn him if he doesn't know.
Well, should I text him right now and ask him?
Talked about it with him.
What do you say?
He doesn't remember either, but I think it does.
You go, well,
you know. If he doesn't have something prepared, there would be the possibility of the music playing and then the hook maybe.
Do they have playoff music?
Grabbing his jacket and saying, okay, well.
Because we've been to a few of
the company
dinners and parties where he has talked, and I'm thinking in my mind sometimes, wrap it up, Blake. Wrap it up. Play the music, somebody.
The possibility exists.
We did pretty good.
Yeah, we did. It was fun.
We all did pretty good this year.
Fun stuff. Okay, so Masters. Here's the deal. Because we're not going to be on the air tomorrow, and then I'm going to be there the next week. This is going to be the only chance that I really have to talk about the Masters pre-tournament. I may shoot you. I haven't decided on picks, so I may shoot you a text.
Oh, good idea.
At some point, with my picks.
Yeah, I don't want you to pick right now.
I'm not picking right now because
it's going to influence I pick.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not picking right now because this weekend is a huge decider for me. And that is, we're finally going to see the LIV guys again. We haven't seen, it's been years, Jared, since it's so unknown as far as favorites because the guys we see all the time on the PGA Tour, very few of them are playing worth a crap this season. Victor Hovland is 80th in the FedEx Cup point standings. His best finish was tied 19th in like five or six starts. Rory, also 66th in the point standings. His best finish also tied 19th at the Players. Justin Thomas is 31st on the points list. He had a T3, but that was clear back at the Amex. That was like the third tournament of the year. His last two tournaments, missed the cut at the Players, tied 64th at Valspar. Jordan Spieth, 37th on the list. He had a third. That was at the Century. That's the first tournament of the year. His last four, he got disqualified. He tied for 30th, and he went miscut, miscut. And then also Colin Morikawa, 40th on the list. Tied for 5th at the Century, the first tournament of the year. His last two, miscut, tied 45th. So those are the PGA Tour guys that you know. I mean, obviously, Scottie Scheffler isn't on that list. He's won twice, could have went into a playoff to win last week, didn't. But he's played well. I think you've seen Xander Schauffele play pretty well. But then you got all those. And then you got all the LIV guys. The LIV guys haven't played since Hong Kong, Singapore, whatever that was. Now, they do play this week at Doral, which Doral is an iconic golf course. It's a hard golf course. But, yeah, there's no way I'm picking right now until I see what kind of form those guys have. And this is just the truth of it. For me, with LIV, those guys can win all the LIV events they want to. But they still have to, they still don't play 72 holes. Right. It's hard to equate that in the laissez-faire attitude of the event itself. It's hard to equate what that is with the Masters. And the pressure that they put on themselves to perform, much less, you know, the outside world and the pressure that's there. So that this weekend is pretty interesting to me to see what kind of form a lot of those guys are going to have and guys that are at the top or toward the top of the odds. We'll talk about the odds in a second. To my point about guys not playing well, so far the winners on the PGA Tour, Chris Kirk, Grayson Murray, Nick Dunlap, who was an amateur at the time, Mathieu Pivon. You know when you have to, like, make your voice different to tell the winner? That means nobody's ever heard of him. Okay? Then you had Wyndham Clark. He won at Pebble, but it was also 54 holes because of the weather. It was shortened after right. Saturday. Nick Taylor, Hideki Matsuyama. That was the second name that you kind of know. I mean, unfortunately. Then you had Jake Knapp. Everybody knows Austin Ekroat because he went to Edmund North and OSU, but right. He's not some kind of name. Then you got Scotty, Peter Malnati, and Steven Yeager. That was this year's winners. In those same tournaments a year ago, Rahm, Siwoo Kim, Rahm, Homa, Justin Rose, Scotty, Rahm, Scotty, Sam Burns. A lot more recognizable names a year ago, the winners going into the Masters, than there are this year. So that's kind of the – I mean, I think most people would probably assume if Scottie Scheffler plays good and putts good, he's going to win with how great he hits the ball. But his putter's always a little bit nerve-wracking. So we'll see. The LIV guys are good. Scottie, his odds – are starting to look a little bit like peak Tiger. He's 4-1. Rory 10-1. Rahm, Will Zalatoris, and Spieth 13-1. I think Spieth almost entirely off of his record at the Masters, which is immaculate.
Yeah.
I just put their initial. Okay, that's Hovland and Koepka 21-1. Ludwig, he changes his last name each week how to pronounce it. Ober right now. And Xander are 24-1. Cantlay and JT 28-1. Then you get these next ones are pretty interesting to me. The next group down: Cam, Hideki, Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, JN, Joaquin Niemann, 31-1. And then you got Matt Fitz and DJ 36-1. Now some of those numbers are crazy, but a lot of it's because of the LIV. And we don't know, like DJ at 36-1. I don't know how you don't bet something on that. Heck, even Koepka. Kepka's 21-1. Xander 24. There's some value it looks like there to me. I wonder how much those odds maybe shrink just a little bit. And then one of the craziest numbers. And I mean, I couldn't tell you how this guy has played because he's been on LIV but Bubba Watson at 280-1 to win the Masters. Seems like a heck of a number.
I'd put some money to burn on that one.
I would too. 280-1 for Bubba.
You never know, but that would be an incredible payout. Who of all, you kind of mentioned it earlier, of all those names, you don't have to go one by one. And if you don't know, you don't know. Who's playing this weekend? Because I always lean on who's been playing
okay.
good lately. And so that's why I'm really going to pay attention this weekend.
Here you go. I'll tell you. Let me pull up the PGA Tour. I know Rory's playing. I know Ober's playing this week at Valero. Yeah. Okay. Ober, Rory. Homa, Max Homa's playing, as far as the guys that you care about knowing they're mm-hmm. playing. Adam Scott's playing. Then, of course, the LIV guys are all playing on the other side. Let's see. That's probably all you care about knowing. Rory.
One of the names you expect to hear mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, I'm always big on.
There's one. I was wondering if Spieth was playing. Because it's in Hideki's playing. Yeah, there's Spieth. Spieth is playing this week because it's in Texas.
It's in Texas. Yeah, it's in Dallas, isn't it?
San Antonio.
I'm sorry.
I think.
San Antonio.
Valero Texas Open isn't in San Antonio. Yeah, TPC San Antonio.
It's in Santa. Okay. Still.
So there's still there's quite a few playing this week, and I think a big part of that's because they haven't been sharp. If Rory had been sharp, I don't know that he plays. Mm-hmm. If Spieth had been sharp, I don't know that he plays. But I think those guys, a lot of those PGA Tour guys, especially, are trying to find something. To lean on headed into Augusta. Changes on the golf course this week from last year, very, 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 very minimal. I mean, that's the coolest thing about the Masters to me is their ability to keep up with the game unlike anybody else. I mean, their whole goal in setting up that golf course and continuing to lengthen that golf course and change that golf course is so that technology doesn't overpower it. The same clubs Jack was hitting into the greens on in 1986 are the same clubs Tiger hit into the green in 2019. You know, and they're constantly trying to do that. This year, the only change they made was they moved number two, par five, whips around left, goes way down the hill and back up. A green, Oosthuizen made the two a few years back. They moved that tee box back and left 10 yards, which with the big time dogleg left. There's a bunker on the right in the fairway. Last year, they must have been blowing it past it. So they moved it 10 yards back to try to bring that bunker back into play. And that's just what they do there. Guys are just kind of starting to get there. Early reports are the golf course is exactly how Augusta National wants it. And that means firm and that means fast. Greens are springy.
Yeah.
And which makes it way more difficult. And way it brings experience into it way more by knowing when to hit certain shots, when to get aggressive, and when you can't, because if you don't pull it off, you're making bogey or double. I can't wait to see how that affects it, because does that bring more players in? If it's firm and fast, can the shorter hitters all get to the par fives and two because it's faster? Or does that even give the big guys that much more advantage? You know, a couple in those middle 2000s when it was wet and it was cold and it was rainy, that's when you saw like Zach Johnson win because nobody could get to the par fives and two. That brings wedge game into it so much more.
Yeah.
If it's firm and fast, though, do the big guys have that much more an advantage, or does it give maybe some of the others a chance because they can get it further down there and start getting to par fives without having to hit woods?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as an expert on golf and the actual play like you are, but I'd ask the question, if it's firm and fast and I'm efforting the weather. I've heard weather's gonna be immaculate.
Perfect so far. I shouldn't have said that.
I was wondering if the guys that can smash who you'd think maybe could be advantage for, what if they keep flying? Like I know what you're talking about with your short game guys who, you know, is gonna run on them and help them, but what if the guys don't know how to let up on their drives? Does that make sense?
Yeah, maybe.
And, you know, they're flying greens.
Gets
them into trouble.
Hitting it too far, hitting it through a dog leg or something like that.
Rolls too far, something puts them in a bad spot. I don't know. I'm that's something to look for.
Experience around this place is more important than any other place that they play all year long. And if you don't believe me, I saw this yesterday. It must have been at the LIV pre-tournament press conferences. And obviously a lot of those guys that are going to play next week were asked about Augusta. And outside of, I mean, this guy that's going to tell you about the Augusta National and how important experience is probably a top five guy living right now, expert on Augusta National. And as much as I hate him, this is really, I don't hate him, but as much as I dislike him, this was really interesting couple of minutes from what, three-time winner Phil Mickelson.
Happy to share, you know, information. There's little tidbits that, you know, this putt does this or that putt does that, or you want to be over here. That it's pretty easy to figure out, but as you play it over the years, you learn where you can be aggressive and where not to. And it's actually different for myself and Bubba than a right-handed player because of our shot dispersion and so forth. I'll give you like one example that you wouldn't think of, like number 10, when the pin is on the right, when it's front right, or even back right, when the pin's back right, if you go in that bunker and a right-handed player comes in there and opens the face on his sandwich and hits a nice high soft shot with a little cut spin, it cuts back into the slope, checks up quick, pretty easy up and down. I've been in practice rounds where I've seen the guys throw it up their 2 feet, no problem. But for a left-handed player, if you go in that bunker and you open up that face, you hit that ball out there with cut spin, it's working with the right to left green. The ball doesn't stop. The best I can do is maybe 8 feet. And 10 feet is a pretty good shot. And so that bunker is much more penalizing for me than it would be for a right-handed player. So I have to be more cautious there. But then another example would be 12, where it sits along our shot dispersion for lefty. So if we aim over the bunker and we pull it a little bit, it goes longer right and we can get to that back right pin. If we come out of it, it goes short left and still catches the green. And so 12 as a whole, where we get aggressive, Bubba and I, we're thinking two and we're getting after wherever the pin is, where as a right-handed player, where it sits opposite their shot dispersion, they've got to be a little bit more cautious on that shot. And so it plays different for each player. It's not like that on every hole, on every shot. And so there's stuff that transcends, you know, for instance, when the pin's back left on two, you can pretty much miss it anywhere except for the front part of the left bunker. So that you can get up and down almost anywhere except for that one little area. And I don't really care for the right bunker. So if you hit those shots around the green to that back pin and you know what it does, it's pretty easy up and down. And so that's stuff that will transcend left-handed, right-handed player or whatnot. And I'm happy to share stuff like that. But there's little subtleties, nuances that allow that course to play different for Bubba and myself than John. And then, you know, they can be aggressive on certain spots where we have to be a little bit more careful and vice versa.
I thought that was super interesting take because of for years and years, until Mike Weir in 2003, a left-handed player never won. And then all of a sudden, you saw Mike Weir break through, then Phil breaks through the three times, then Bubba wins a couple of times. You start seeing the lefties be able to handle it better in the, you know, over the last 20 years than they were ever. And you know, it also helps that, you know, Phil's one of the top 10 players of all time. And so it didn't really matter what hand he was, you know, to say he's going to win some of these tournaments. Yeah. But, you know, Bubba and his creativity. I think that's, you know, Weir was one of those years where it was cold and, you know, wedging mattered and he wedged it better. And there may not be a worse Masters champion of all time. The fact that Mike Weir gets to go there every year is just insane. But, you know, those other two, yes, left-handed, 12 is a huge advantage to them, especially on Sunday when that pin is back right. The right-handers are scared to death to go at that pin because think about it for all you righties out there. You know, what is the weakest shot you hit? High right, short right. Well, short right on 12 is in the water on Sunday. We saw it in 19 when Tiger won. Koepka, short right, water. Molinari, short right, water. Finau, same thing. Whereas for the lefties, for you, you know, the strong shots to the high right are when you pull it, it goes further. Mm-hmm. So that's where 12, I think, is a really interesting test case for what he was just saying, because if the pin's back right, short right for righties, water, you pull it, it's long, it gets to the pin, and maybe even close for a lefty. And then when the pin is on the front left, you come out of it as a lefty, you still cover the water and get on the green, whereas for a righty, the left miss is going to go further because it's a pull. And now you're talking about getting back in the bunker or, heck, even back into the azaleas.
Those woods, yeah.
And so that's where I think that's interesting to compare those two. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't – it's hard to tell until – I mean, Rom plays this golf course great. Cam Smith's the only guy ever to shoot four rounds in the 60s around Augusta. If I'm not mistaken, it was in November, so that's not the same. It's not the same animal that it is, obviously, in April. But still, to be able to say you've done something at the Masters that nobody else has ever done, you're comfortable there. You know, Koepka always seems to show up. I'm just talking about live guys only right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Koepka shows up at seemingly every single major. So, and then DJ. You know, where are their games at? It's a fascinating Masters because it does feel like if Scheffler plays the way he has been playing, he's the clear favorite. Kind of like Tiger used to be the clear favorite. And then if he slips a little, who can be there to pounce? And with so many guys not playing well and the mystery of the live guys, it's going to be a fun next week and a half or so to see who can get there. And then, you know, like yesterday, JT and Bones split. That is crazy right before the match. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so who's going to be his guy? I did see, and I've never heard of him. But kind of an early idea for the Masters since this is going to be it for me. Next time I'm on the air, we'll know who won.
And I expect a full breakdown.
If you want an hour of Masters, a week from Monday, it's going to be your day. That's all the sheet is going to say, Masters. Remember, tomorrow, we're out of pocket. We'll be in Tulsa. So it'll be just an extra hour of the guys from Oklahoma City. We were just talking Masters, Jared. What's the thing you notice immediately about the Masters when it comes on TV?
The azaleas.
What else?
The pines.
What else?
The music.
What else?
Jim Nantz. I don't know.
How green the grass
that
is.
I was going down the
how
list.
How well
yes.
manicured the grass is. If you want your yard to look like Augusta National, I know how to make that happen. Call my man Scott Kelly at Superior Lawns. 580-799-5670. Superior Lawns has the granular application program. He's at my house today. Spraying insecticides or fertilizers. Perfect time, right? Because when you start looking at the first of the week weather next week, rain. It's going to be windy as all get out tomorrow. So I imagine Scott will be busy today getting stuff sprayed on a less windy day. Then it'll rain on Monday, soak everything in throughout the rest of the week. Scott Kelly, Superior Lawns, 580-799-5670. Get involved with those granular application programs for insecticides or fertilizers that'll help you up your turf game for 2024 and beyond. So I suppose we need to make picks, at least for the men's semifinals. And quite frankly, the women's tournament, because neither one of us will be back on the air until the women have finished their NCAA tournament. So I'll ask you, who will play on Sunday for the women's title?
I said it a few weeks ago, and not on air, but I said it. Someone asked me that question, and I think it's going to be South Carolina and Iowa.
I think that is what everybody wants to happen. I know that's what the TV people want to happen.
Part of me wishes I filled out a bracket so I could prove that I picked that game, you know?
I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't think?
No. Nope.
Who do you think it's going to be? UConn?
I think it's going to be South Carolina and Connecticut. Wouldn't it be just like Gino Auriemma to throw cold water on this fire?
Well, he's going to go, hey, remember me?
That's what's crazy.
No one's talking about my dominance. I'm back.
No one is talking about Connecticut, the Huskies. Yeah. The Huskies of what, 11 national titles in Geno's since 1995?
One could say he is the big reason, him and when they went on that dominant run, he's the big reason why viewership maybe tailed off a little bit, because people always just
tired of watching him win.
UConn's going to be there. I've already seen this play out.
11.
Yeah.
11 titles.
It's amazing. And it wouldn't shock me if they go in. I don't even know if you want to call it an upset over Iowa.
That's what's weird, though, is nobody even – they're such an afterthought. The Connecticut Huskies are an afterthought in this Final Four. You know how many Final Fours they've made?
Well, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count that much.
23.
I knew I didn't have enough fingers and toes. That's incredible.
23.
That is just such an incredible.
And nobody wants them to win. Nobody cares that they're there.
I respect it, though. Oh, man. I respect it.
You know, he's a different cat, man.
Have you ever had a problem with him?
No.
You know, like some people have a problem with Mulkey and her antics and all that. And people, you know, and they say, well, the only reason I have a problem with it is because she's winning at a high level and people don't like you. I've never had a problem with Gina.
He's a little bit like Saban in that when they did have a problem with him early, they just kind of had to shut up because he kept on winning. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think he has just enough of the old school mentality that people that like that old school part of it like him, because he'll continue in his convictions. But he also has been able to kind of go with the times, right, and figure it out as well. They haven't won since 16.
Yeah, a little bit of a drought.
Which
there.
Is as big a drought as they've ever had since they started winning them in 1995. They went 1, 2, 3, 4 years. The fifth year they won. Then they got one, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth year they won. That was from 2004 until 2009. And then they went 4 in a row from 13 to 16. And now 1, 2, 3, missed 2020. 4, 5, 6, 7. This would be the eighth year. Now, they made the Final Four in all of them but 2 years ago. National runner-up back in 22. Man, that is incredible. I've got that one. And then I'm going to have South Carolina going undefeated. It's going to be hard to beat them.
No, I have South Carolina, Iowa, and I have South Carolina winning it all.
Who plays in the men's title game?
I think it will be UConn and Purdue. I mean, that's what I picked, so why would I go against that?
I think you're right. I think it's Connecticut and Purdue. And unfortunately, I don't think either game on Saturday is going to be – I don't think either one of them are going to be overly interesting. If one of them does turn into a good game, I would suspect it would be Bama and UConn, because Bama makes a bunch of threes. I just don't see any way North Carolina State can hang with Purdue. I just don't see it.
Outside of if they find a way to utilize Edie with – help me with
Burns.
This. Burns, I'm with you. And I don't know if he can.
Purdue shot the three.
I think Edie's just a little bit more athletic than him, that he can figure that out.
Purdue shot the three fantastic all year. They kind of had their bad shooting night against Tennessee, which made that a six-point game. If they shoot it just normal, they blow Tennessee out. And then we get the final that I think everybody wants to see. Can Klingon stay out of foul trouble and defend Edie without helping, without anybody else helping him off of shooters that then opens up Purdue's offense? What will be the best game in the men's or women's the rest of the way?
Iowa-UConn women.
I think so, too. That's exactly what I wrote down. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a great game. I want to say UConn and Purdue men's final. First off, we don't know if we get that game. And second off, I don't know if it's going to be as pleasing to the eye as what UConn and Iowa is going to be on the women's side. I think it's going to be up and down. It's going to be more enjoyable, more entertaining to watch. It may not be ultimately as close, but I think it's going to be really aesthetically pleasing to watch that game. I think you're talking 80s, 90s.
Yeah, you're clearly going to get your best shooter, arguably, in both tournaments. And Clark, and I think probably the best coach in UConn's in Geno, and you're going to get a well-coached game. I see what you're saying, but I just think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be close and fun.
Well, I think there's going to be another name that people have kind of forgotten about because of her injuries throughout her career, that when everybody's watching Caitlin Clark, you're going to remember just how damn good Paige Beckers really is.
Yep.
She was kind of Caitlin Clark before she got hurt. You know
yep,
what I'm saying?
Yep.
I think you're going to realize just how good Paige
That's
Beckers
a good story,
really
too. That's something no one's talking about. They should. Mm-hmm. That's a really good story out of UConn there. Her coming back.
Okay. I'll go on. I think UConn's going to win the men in a close game over Purdue. And I think South Carolina is going to beat UConn on the women's side. Interestingly enough, two teams have both. Connecticut and NC State.
That is pretty cool. We've seen UConn do this before, but I don't think – have we seen it with another team at
Baylor?
The same time?
Baylor ever do it since their men have become good?
That's a good question. Wasn't there one time OU got both in?
Hollis, yes. Yes. 2002.
But now what I'm saying is at the same time, both UConn men and women and NC State, you see what I'm saying? At the same time, same year.
No.
That's ever happened.
Yeah.
It has happened.
2002, right? Was UConn there? No, they didn't make the Final Four. Maryland beat them.
Maryland beat them out? That's when Maryland won it.
Maryland won. Who did they beat?
OU was there.
OU played Indiana. Maryland played. It's not UConn because they only lost once in the Final Four, and that was in 2009, I think. Who did Maryland play? Kansas?
I'm going as fast. No, it wasn't. I remember this.
Sure it wasn't KU?
Why is it so hard just to give me the answer I want? Here we go. It was KU.
Yeah, Maryland and Kansas, OU and Indiana. That's right. And then the Sooner Ladies played in the finals and were beaten by Connecticut.
They got to the finals?
Yeah.
That year?
Stacey Dales last year. Beaten by Sue Bird. And that undefeated season that Connecticut pulled off. Yeah, so yeah, Connecticut didn't do it that year. OU did.
Cool.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking about 2000. I think it was 2002, though. Anyhow.
Well, I've given you my PC answer. Now I'll give you my real, what I really want to happen. And I really want Alabama to beat UConn so I can just rub it in Ham's face on Monday.
Yeah, OU. 2002 was Connecticut and Oklahoma in the finals, 82-70.
Cool.
Sue Bird, Swin Cash. All right. And I'm sure he's prepared to do the same back to you.
I don't know. He's not much of a trash talker. At least not to me. I've heard him in some baseball arguments before.
That was one of the most entertaining drives of all time.
Wasn't it, though?
Him and Tim going back and forth. Everybody have a great week. Enjoy the Masters next week.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.